Now, as I told the children, the book of Acts records the day of Pentecost. The apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a rush of a mighty wind came from heaven and filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each one of them. Now, when my brother was little, he was fascinated with fire. So my mom gave him a whole box of matches. And she parked him on the back porch steps and told him not to come in until every single last one of them had been struck and burned. And so my brother sat there and struck all of the matches. Tongues of fire burst forth. And then they settled down, and he watched them burn. On that day, tongues of fire burst forth and rested on each one gathered there, and then settled. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit burning within them, just as Jesus had promised. Now, John records Jesus comforting his disciples as they sat together at table celebrating the Passover. Remember that Thursday evening as they sat together, eating the last meal that they would have together, aware that the temple authorities were provoked and looking for Jesus ready to strike? And the disciples were upset. Wouldn't you be? They were grieving. And Jesus said, "If I didn't go, the counselor could not come to you, and you want the counselor to come to you." The title here for the Holy Spirit, Elechen, translated counselor, in Greek is the word that is used in a court of law to name the lawyer who cross-examines the witness. The work of the counselor is to be the cross-examiner, to probe the world on its sinfulness, and to get a conviction. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to make us aware of our own unworthiness and the sheer and utter grace that God's forgiveness is. Brooke Gensler had the opportunity to visit the Holy Land while she was a student at Notre Dame, and she tells about celebrating Mass at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. She says, "We celebrated Mass just yards away from the actual ground where Jesus was born. We offered our prayers to the God who offered his only Son for the salvation of humanity. Here, where the Word became flesh, we dared to read the Word of God and eat of his flesh, the body of Christ. I was moved, my heart and my soul, to a state of wonder. As the Mass proceeded, I considered how immensely fortunate I was to be perhaps one of 100 people at this holiest of sites, where the source of Christianity was born. Out of all Christians throughout the world, I was called to participate in the Lord's Supper, where my Savior came into the world." Needless to say, the words at the end of the prayer, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof," have taken on new meaning for me. She says, "I felt unworthy to be under his roof because this was the first home of Jesus on earth. And as I said those words, 'Lord, I am unworthy that you should enter under my roof,' I realized my own unworthiness." He said, "I did nothing to deserve the saving love of Christ. And for me, this was an acknowledgement of the gift of Jesus' sacrifice. Through faith and dependence on his word, his mercy, and I shall receive the peace that can only come through Christ. And my soul shall be healed. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to cross-examine us and make us aware of our sinfulness and our deep need for forgiveness." Jesus says, you want that cross-examiner to come. Because we only turn to a Savior when we realize we need one. And the cross-examiner is going to prove the righteousness of Jesus, that Jesus is worthy. Jesus is the Savior we need. William Barclay writes, when you think of it, it is amazing that we should put our trust for all eternity in a crucified Jewish criminal. Now stop and think about it. It is amazing that we put our trust for all eternity in a crucified Jewish criminal. What convinces us that this crucified Jew is the Son of God? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the cross-examiner will convince us of the judgment of the ruler of the world. Our world is now subject to the ways of evil and power, but the cross-examiner will reveal that the world's judgment is the wrong way. Evil does not triumph. Death does not have the last word. The word is sinful because it does not believe that Jesus' death is his victory. The world's judgment is wrong, and the cross-examiner will set it right. Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is perhaps best known for her work on the five stages of grief. And while she was researching and interviewing dying patients in the hospital, she noticed that sometimes when she would go into a dying patient's room, that patient would be very calm and at peace. She also noticed a pattern to which patients would be calm and at peace when she went into their room. It was the patients who had a clean room. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Except that it wasn't just that they had a clean room, it was that their rooms had been cleaned by the same orderly. And so one day she stopped that orderly in the hallway and she said, what have you been doing with my patients? The orderly was very defensive and said, I haven't been doing anything with your patients. And after she had convinced the orderly that she wasn't going to get in trouble and she really just wanted to know what she was doing with these patients, the orderly answered, well, I talked to them while I cleaned their room. You know, I've had two babies of my own die in my lap, but God never abandoned me. I tell them that. I tell them that they aren't alone, that God is with them, and that they don't have to be afraid. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Through that orderly, the Holy Spirit transformed those patients' view of death from the world's view, that death is something to be feared and faced alone, to God's view, that death is a part of life never faced alone because God never abandons us in life or in death, and there is no reason to be afraid. And then Jesus tells the disciples, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Truth isn't going to be revealed all at once. You're going to get it, just enough, just as you can bear it. The Spirit is going to guide you. And it's the work of God's Holy Spirit to reveal that truth to us. Jesus says, he will glorify me. Now, glorify literally means to reveal and make visible the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is going to unveil God to us, truth. But how does that revelation happen? How does the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth? How is the presence of God revealed in our lives? The Holy Spirit only reveals God's truth to us as we seek it. After Jesus' ascension, the disciples had returned to Jerusalem, and on the day of Pentecost, they were all together back in that upper room where they had had that last supper with Jesus. And Acts tells us that they and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers were all devoted to prayer. And there Peter stood up and reminded them of the words of Scripture that were being fulfilled. We make ourselves open to the Holy Spirit through the gathering of the church, through prayer, and through studying Scripture. We have to study Jesus' life and follow Jesus' example. The nearer we live to who Jesus was and how Jesus was, the better we know him, and the more we become like him, and the more he will be able to tell us. Now, when my brother finished striking the last match in the box, I have a feeling he watched it just as carefully as he watched the first one. I might have to move back down there where it goes out faster, huh? And then you know what he did? He walked back inside and he asked my mom if she had any more matches. He was not satisfied. He's had a lifelong fascination with fire, and he's now a fire safety engineer for the city of Denver. And when I asked him if I could use him as a sermon illustration, he offered to email pictures of him in a burning building at the fire academy. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth as we seek it, as we're not satisfied, as we strike that match over and over again, as we study it and develop our understanding, we are convicted that we need a Savior, and we are convinced that Jesus, a Middle Eastern Jewish man who was executed 2,000 years ago, is that Savior. And we're led by the cross-examiner to the truth that in his death is our life. May tongues of fire burst forth and rest on each one of us here and settle, filling us with the Holy Spirit burning within us, just as Jesus promised. Amen.